Thanks, team, for leading us this morning. We appreciate it. And guest appearances, good to have you here this morning. Well, speaking of the worship team, a question. How many of you listen to music during your week? So during the week, how many of you listen to music? Music of any kind? Yeah? Okay. All right. Thank you. Music is a significant part of our lives. In fact, music is what feelings sound like. Just think about all the places we go and things we do that have music. I mean, if you go to the mall or most shopping places, there's music playing. Almost every single advertising that you see on TV or online is accompanied by music. Clearly, the advertisers know something about music and its impact on the hearer. It's a means of expression. It's a form of entertainment. It's a means of escape. Some of you enjoy going to concerts. As far as entertainment goes, I've seen some of your posts online. I've heard some of you singing along with the music. It's very interesting. Music reflects our moods, and it affects our moods. Few things in life touch the heart and emotions as much as music. Music for many represents things you believe. It can represent things that are important to you, what you identify with, what resonates with you. Think about this. If the majority of the songs that you listen to talk about getting drunk or wasted, that may be something that's a temptation for you or could become a temptation for you. I remember a young man in a family that I know of very closely. I'm going to say this right now, not my immediate family. And he used to listen to, I may have told you this, he used to listen to this hardcore stuff. He wasn't like that when I knew him for a number of years, but he began, and I'm not blaming this all on music, okay, but he began listening to this hardcore stuff, and he changed. Something inside him changed to the point where he was living at home, and he would began arguing with his parents and fighting with his parents. I'm sure you've never heard any story like that, but this came to the point where there was an argument one day, and he hit his mother. And that's where the line was drawn. And now I'm saying this because I have some knowledge of it, that he would just close himself in day after day, and just this music would be pounding and blasting and blaring, and it was a violent type of music. After that incident, some things changed. They had to change. The music changed. The person changed. It wasn't that, you know, there wasn't a God swept in and changed him and he gave his life to the Lord and served him and went into ministry. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. But the music changed, and so did the person. If the music you listen to is filled with sexual innuendos and outright sexual expressions and just plain vulgarity, then there's a strong possibility that your thoughts and feelings will lean toward those things. If what you listen to talks about faith and trusting God and praising God and living for God, I think there's a good chance you're trying to, or at least have some desire to do those things. Possibly that you're someone who actually cares about God. Chances are, I'm not saying it's like this all the time, but you may even be a person of faith, a Christ follower. The kind of music we listen to says a lot about who we are. Well, we're continuing our summer series called Made New, and we've looked at the new life that we can have in Jesus. We're looking at this series called Made New and what the Bible theme about newness, about made new. And we've considered the new life that we can have through Jesus. We've considered God's mercies that are new every morning. And last week we considered the call to see and celebrate the new things that God is doing and wants to do in and through our lives. And today we're going to look at the idea of a new song. A new song. And just before we get into that, I'm going to ask Steve if he'd come and just share something with you. And I'll just leave it to him and he can do that.
Best things we do here at church is we have a good sermon. Craig is a good preacher, and he puts a good amount of time into his sermon. Like, I'm in the office. He puts a lot of time into his work. And the problem is that you listen to a
sermon. That's why I brought him up here, just to tell you all that. Thank you, Steve. You can sit down.
Yeah. Now, who's had it where you go to church, and then Monday morning you forgot everything? Okay, that's me. It's me. Sorry, man. It just happens.
Nobody's raising their hand.
Okay. So what we're going to do here now is we actually have, for those who have mobile devices, there is the YouVersion app, and it is probably the best Bible app I've found.
What Steve said is those who have mobile devices, phones or laptops, you said it pretty quick.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
And there's an app.
There's an
for
app.
For those who might not, it's an application. It's the long form. So
application, yeah.
That's just for the other.
And it's called YouVersion. It's a really, really good app, and it's like the leading Bible app, I think, I imagine. And if you want to get it, if you want to install it, you can put it on your phone. We actually have all of the sermon notes on the event. So you go on the app, you go to the bottom, it says Bible events. And then it says Pioneer Park Church. And you can click on that and get access to everything Craig's going to say, all the scripture passages, every point he's going to make. And then you could save that event and take it home throughout the week. And at the very end of the sermon, there's like a Bible reading plan. You can click that. And then for the next 5 days, you can have a little devotion in the morning based off of what Craig has taught. So it's the YouVersion app. And if you don't know how to do it, the cool thing is that after the service, someone at the welcome booth will be there. And if you have a question, needing help installing it, needing help finding it, they'll be there to help you. So, yeah.
They're... So, Steve, what if they want to do that right now?
If you want to do that right now, you can log on. If you want free Wi-Fi, it's actually in the bulletin where the...
At the top.
Our Wi-Fi password at the top. And you can have access to that right now if you want to. Just follow Craig along. You know, we'll see you on your phones and we'll think, oh, that's cool. We won't look at you weird. So thank you.
Some of you have no idea what Steve just said. And that's okay. That's okay. I just want to tell you right now. What's that? The Welcome Center. If you care to have it explained to you in any further detail, I'm guessing there are some of you who do not, and that is fine. It's just, I think what we're trying to do is what Steve said is make it so that we can helpful to at least a certain segment of the population in continuing the message into the week and understanding and maybe keeping that in our heads and minds and living it out a little more. And so we can listen on a Sunday morning and go from here. We have some visuals. We also can upload sermons to our website, which is pioneerparkchurch.com, and you can hear them there. So just trying to make more ways that God's word is out there during the week and part of our lives. And so thanks, Steve, for that description. I was amazed. You know, sometimes when you sit and you're preparing a message and you start reading through the Bible and seeing some things, and it's kind of neat to get kind of worked up and like, no way, that's awesome. And as I began, I was amazed as I began to add up and see all of the songs that we find in the Bible, all of the references we find to songs. And that's sort of the idea of what we're talking about today, a new song. The Bible itself is not a song book. But did you know there are at least 185 songs in the Bible? There's battles and coronations and funerals and cities being sacked and seas splitting. You can find songs in the Bible for all kinds of occasions. Now, about 150 of these songs are in the book of Psalms, in the book of Psalm, which is actually a song book. So the Bible is not a song book, but in that we find the book of Psalm, which is a song book written by more people than just a guy named David. But you can find 35-ish more songs, chants, and hymns scattered across the Old and New Testaments. And I say 35-ish because some of those songs are very similar to the Psalms, and other pieces of poetry which may or may not have been sung. The longest song in the Bible is 1,732 words. The two shortest songs are 7 words. And consider this. The first song that we find in the Bible is Moses' song. It's called that. It's Moses' song in Exodus 15. The Israelites have just crossed the Red Sea, and we talked about that in our series here. The Israelites have just crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his pursuing army have been destroyed. God's delivered and saved his people, and we read that Moses and the people sang a song to the Lord. It's on the screen there. Then Moses and the people of Israel, hey, that's what I just said, sang this song to the Lord. I know. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Am I reading the same? Yes. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, if you're of a certain vintage, there may be a song going through your head right now. Yeah, in regard to those verses. We're not going to sing it this week. Last week we did sing it, but I'll just let you do that in your head right now. Well, later in that same chapter of Exodus 15, we see Miriam, who is Moses' sister, and she leads the women in dancing and song along the same lines, the same theme. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, we read about the song of the well. They had a song about a well. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read again of Moses' song of warning, this time to the people of Israel. This happened as Moses is about to turn the leadership over to Joshua. In the book of Judges, we find the song of Deborah the prophetess and Barak. In 1 Samuel, we see Hannah's prayer, which is a song of praise as Samuel is dedicated to God at the temple. Later in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we find the song of David's victory. It goes like this. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all of the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Steve, if you want to tick off the leader, have them sing a song like this. Now, Saul's the big guy. He's, yeah, you've done this thousands, but David's way better. No wonder he chased him down and tried to kill him. In 2 Samuel, we find David's song of praise to God for strength and deliverance. In Isaiah chapter 5, we find the song of the vineyard. In the New Testament, in the book of Luke, we find, of course, Mary's song, sometimes called the Magnificat. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. Later on in that same chapter, we read of Zechariah's song. Zechariah was John the Baptist's dad. Back in the Old Testament, let me jump back there. There's a book called the Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 4:32, we're told that King Solomon's songs numbered 1,005. He had a lot of time to make up songs. And this was his favorite, the Song of Songs, an epic love song. Yet of all the songs we find in the Bible, the book of Psalm contains 80% of them. And many of these make reference to a new song. Here are some of them. Psalm 33, sing to him, that's to the Lord, a new song. Play skillfully and shout with joy. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 144, I will sing a new song to you, my God. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Isaiah 42:10 says, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. A new song from God is a song of praise because he is worthy to be praised. Over and over again, the psalmist calls for us to sing a new song. Well, thanks, Steve, for the new song this morning. It's not exactly what it means, but why does he say this? And again, does it mean that Steve should be teaching us a new song every Sunday? Some of you are going, please, no. I'm just learning one new one. Does it mean that we should just pick a song we don't know and just sing it? We'll call it Mystery Song Sunday. Why not? And we'll learn something new and we'll be better for it. Is that what the... No, not at all. That's not what he's saying. That's not the point at all. It has nothing to do with the type or style of songs that we sing. He says, sing a new song of praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. Each of these psalms are talking about praising God for what he has done and what he is doing. They're also talking about salvation. David says, he heard my cry. He lifted me up. He gave me a firm place to stand. I praise him. He's done marvelous things. He saved me, so I will praise him. It's our expressions of joy and thankfulness to God who saved us and is saving us. King David was one of God's servants in the Old Testament and was the most successful king of all the kings of Israel. But not all David's life experiences were rosy and sweet, that's for sure. Like many of us, he experienced some times of difficulties, opposition, and turmoil. In Psalm 40, he tells us some of the times when he experienced those things, yet at the same time he writes that, he gives testimony about how good God has been to him and how God delivered him and gave him the victory over those things. It says in those three verses, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Notice David says, he put a new song in my mouth. He gave me a new song to sing. Folks, to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus, to have the new life that Jesus offers, is to have a new song in your heart. It seems that salvation and song are a bit inseparable because of the joy the Lord generates in us. When we're in fellowship with God through faith in Jesus, there's something inside that can perhaps be best described as a song in our heart, a praise in our heart. I mean, you've probably heard the phrase like, she's got a song in her heart, or that little one has a real song in their heart. It's a phrase perhaps that you've heard. It's descriptive of a grateful person, someone who has joy, who's happy, who's grateful. I was thinking of another one, you know, he's really changed his tune. That's often used in a negative concept. Well, he's really changed his tune. But that's the idea. There's a song in her heart. He's changed his tune. Now, in Psalm 40, David expressed his gratitude for the Lord for delivering him out of a slimy pit. That had to be bad. The New Living Translation calls it a pit of despair, and out of the mud and mire. And because God delivered David from danger, whatever that mud and mire and the pit meant in David's life, he had a new song of praise in his heart toward God. And folks, if God's delivered you or helped you in your despair or mud and mire of sin or turmoil or sickness or trouble, whatever it is, you ought to praise him with a new song. That might be in the form of a prayer, or simply words of thanks and praise, or telling someone else about what God did. Or maybe you'll just sing something. Some of you are going, no way. Or maybe, as Psalm 100, verse 1 says, you'll just make a joyful noise to the Lord. You can do that. You see, I think when there's that idea of the new song in our heart, that praise, that gratitude, that thanksgiving, we're recognizing that it's him who has made any of it possible. you're recognizing God's work in your life and your situation, the good things that He's blessed you with, and you're letting others see it. Again, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Remember looking at this? It says, because of the steadfast love of the Lord, we're not cut off. His mercies are unending. They're new every morning. His faithfulness is great. Because God's mercies are new every morning, we can praise God every day with a new song of praise, a fresh song of gratitude. Now, there's something else that's interesting about David's new song in Psalm 40. David says this about his new song. He says, many will see and fear. Not be scared. It's that idea of have awe or revere or worship. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. And here's the thing. The purpose of David's song wasn't only to give glory and praise to God, but also to be a testimony, a visual for people, an invitation for them to trust God as well. His new song that he talks about wasn't for entertainment, but for a witness to others about the goodness of God. The new song, more than just being a song of praise in his heart, is also meant to be a song of witness, of testimony. David's new song he talks about from the Lord was a blessing to others. He didn't keep his new song to himself. And yes, David, we understand, did sing. David sang his new song out loud for others to hear it. But David did more than just sing his new song. David made his new song visible for everyone else to see it. And so perhaps the question is, how do you make a song? How do you make a song visible for people to see? Do you have to show everyone the notes and the lyrics of the song so that they can see the song? No. What David meant by many shall see was that his new song would be part of who he was, part of how he behaved, of how he treated others, of how he conducted himself, of how he lived his life, and so on. In other words, David would become the new song that God gave him. His life would be a testimony of God's goodness and working, not always easy, but always with God's presence and working. And that's a big part of God's purpose for your life. God wants to not only give you a new song to sing, but He wants to make you a new song to be seen. In other words, God wants you to live your life as a testimony or as a new song to others in such a way that they'll see the reflection of Jesus in you. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You might wonder, well, how do I become a new song? How do I become a testimony that God's worked in my life? The first step is by becoming a new person through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Jesus, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Another version puts it this way. That means that anyone who belongs to Jesus has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. To become a new person in Jesus, you admit to Him in prayer that you've sinned, that you are a sinner. And forgiveness for your and ask forgiveness for your sin and invite Jesus into your life. We read in the Bible where it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son, talking about Jesus. Whoever has the Son, whoever has Jesus, has life. Whoever does not have God's Son, whoever does not have Jesus, does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of Jesus so that you may know you have eternal life. Folks, to be able to sing a new song to the Lord and to be that new song, to be seen by others, the first step is to become a new person. And you become a new person by receiving the new life that Jesus offers. Hey, and if you've already done that, awesome. But you might be feeling like, you know, there hasn't really been much of a new song inside me for a while. Yeah, I've done that, but not much of a new song. Let me encourage you, don't give up. Please don't give up. Do you notice what David wrote at the beginning of Psalm 40? He wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. Doesn't take very long in our spiritual journey to realize that patience is an important trait in the life of a disciple of Jesus. David ran up against difficulties in his life, and as we read, he describes them like being stuck in a miry bog. He just couldn't get out. And he called out to the Lord, and then he waited, and he waited, and maybe even he waited. See, one of our struggles in understanding or even trying to follow David's example is that we find it difficult to wait. But God heard David, and he rescued him, and he put a new song in his heart. And David realized what God had done for him, how he had answered his prayers, and he began to thank the Lord. And sometimes it seems to us that God's timing is really bad. But if you read Scripture much, if you read God's Word much, you'll come to realize it's not. In fact, it's just right. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. Like David wrote and practiced, praise is an appropriate response to God's action in our lives. And folks, praise is an appropriate response to God even while we're waiting on Him. The Bible says God is close, God is near to the brokenhearted, to the crushed in spirit. And whether we see it, whether we feel it, know it or not, He is constantly moving in our lives, constantly working for our good. If God is not rescuing us, He's providing for us, giving us our daily bread. He moves in our lives to protect us, not necessarily from pain, but from hopelessness and from despair. And we are here today because of what God has done in so many ways. We can have a new song in us, in our hearts, in our mouths. We can be that song every day. I loved it when I read this week a sermon that was preached on Sunday, December 28th, 1862, by someone named Charles Spurgeon. And he was using this verse from Psalm 98:1, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. And in his message in 1862, December 28th, he said, there must be new songs. There must be new songs of praise. And that message and that call is as relevant today as it was 155 plus years ago, as it was when David wrote it in the Psalms. And I'll just leave you this week. I didn't know how to word this or what, but I'll just say it this way. I dare you to pray this week. I dare you to pray this week and ask God to give you a new song. Just ask God to give you a new song. And then ask Him to help you be the new song. Let's pray. God, Your word is filled with song. It wasn't an accident that You put all that in there, that You allowed that to be in there for us to see. It wasn't like, oh, what a coincidence. But somehow, through Your word, we are called to sing a new song to You. Oh, some of us dare not sing in public. Some of us would never get up in front. Many of us can't write a song. Many of us can't even read music. Lord, that's not what it's about. It's about a new song of praise, of thanksgiving for all You have done, for all You are doing, for all You are going to do, for who You are, for salvation. The list goes on. Father, I pray that You would inspire within us, that You would place within us a new song of praise, a new song of worship, a new song of love for You and for each other. Father, we need You, and we thank You. Amen.
Would you please stand as we finish, conclude our service?